Morning, everybody. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Good. I know some of you knew the story that I'd be up here this morning, but some of you may not have. But Darby texted me last Monday, and asked me if I wanted the opportunity to preach, and I said yes, and I want to thank him for giving me that opportunity. Everybody in here, with being in a smaller church, will have an opportunity to do something that you wouldn't normally get to do in a larger church service. So I want to thank Darby for that. The past few weeks, we've been going over our Path, Gifts, Passion story, the Find Your Place book. In the next couple of weeks, we'll be going over what our passions are. A couple of weeks ago, Darby preached on what the gifts, the natural abilities, and your supernatural gift are gifts that God gave you. We sort of adopted through the book Ephesians 2:10 as our theme scripture. Let's look at what it says right here. It says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago." Sometimes when we read the Bible, we have a tendency to look at the us and we and you, and we don't think that that means us. Paul was writing directly to the Ephesians. He was writing to make it known to them that they were the person of objectivity. So everybody raise your finger. Point it towards yourself, and let's look at what it says right here. "For I am God's masterpiece. He has created me anew in Christ Jesus, so I can do the things He planned for me long ago." One more time. Point to yourself. Don't point yourself. Don't poke yourself too hard. "For I am God's masterpiece. He has created me anew in Christ Jesus, so I can do the things He planned for me long ago." See, God has given you a masterpiece vision and a masterpiece plan, masterpiece mission. We may not know what that is yet. You may not know what that is yet, but that's the reason we're diving into this Find Your Place book, so you and I can find where we are and what we're supposed to be doing in God's plan. Jesus told His disciples before He sent it to heaven, He gave them a command to go make disciples. Let's look at it in Matthew 18:28-20. "Jesus came and told His disciples, 'I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore,'" that means, "so because I have been given all authority, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of age." That should give us some encouragement. Amen. God has given us a command. Jesus has given us a command. But look at the bottom line. It says, "And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." You're not doing this on your own. God has given you this mission, masterpiece mission. He's given you gifts. He's given you a passion. And He's with you to the end of the age for you to accomplish this. And going through the GPS gifts, passion story, we're trying to figure out what we're to do with our natural abilities, what we're to do with the supernatural gift that God's given us, and what passion He has placed in us. In other words, what did God put you here for? What is your purpose? You're not here by accident. God didn't put you in this time and place in history for no reason. He didn't put you 200 years ago. He's not putting you 200 years in the future. He put you right here where you are for a reason. That's what we've got to figure out. Why are you here? Why am I here? And what are we to do about that? Jeremiah 29:11 starts off like this. God saying, "For I know the plans that I have for you." God knows the plans that I have for you. He has a place. He has a place for you. He has a master plan for you. We've got to figure out what that is. God gave you at least one supernatural gift when you said yes to Christ. When you said, "I do," when you said, "I surrender my life to you," the Holy Spirit deposited a special gift, a supernatural gift in you. At least one, maybe more, but you have at least one. You have at least one to fulfill the purpose of your past masterpiece mission. It's up to us to find out what that is. It's up to us to dive deeper into His Word, dive deeper into the Find Your Place book and the different resources that God gives us. Our masterpiece mission is not just for us to be doing something. That Masterpiece mission is for us to bring Him glory through this. I'm going to say that again. The Masterpiece mission that He gives us is to bring Him the glory. We can't do it without Him. So for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at these passions. We're going to be talking about them today, and probably even though we're having Thanksgiving dinner, we're going to bring it up a little bit next week at Darby's. Maybe you can express what you've been praying about this week after this message. Hopefully this message will make you want to pursue what that mission is, what that passion is. So what is my Masterpiece mission, and how do my passions play into this? Let me ask you a question. When I say the word passion, what does that make you think of? Hey, don't say 50 Shades of Grey, because that's not the passion I'm talking about. It's a whole different passion. I haven't read that book, but I think we all kind of can get the gist of what it is. But most people think, when you think of passions, most people think of strong feelings towards something, something that puts a fire in you, something that makes you want to go run to a battle. God has placed that in you. So I want us to look at what my Masterpiece mission, what your Masterpiece mission might be. And maybe through this, you'll find out who you're supposed to fight for or what you're supposed to fight for. If we go back to Darby's message about David and Goliath last week, we see that God placed David in a place on a battlefield. He placed him in a place that was much larger than he was. He was right smack in the middle of looking at a giant. See, most more than often, God is going to put us in a place to where our Masterpiece mission is going to be bigger than we are. It's going to be much bigger than we are. We're not going to be able to get through this without Him. See, if God just gave us a mission that was smaller than we are, we would not need God, because we'd be able to do that on our own. God's going to put us on a mission, a Masterpiece mission, that's going to bring Him glory, to where we have to rely on Him. The Bible tells us that each one of us was placed here. We were born into a world full of chaos. We were born into a world that's in spiritual warfare. When we step back and take a look at Jesus' life, as He walked along, as He showed His disciples, He was always casting out demons. He was helping the people that were oppressed. Matter of fact, He cast out 2,000 demons at one time, and they ran to the pigs and were drowned. But on the back side of that, what Jesus did when He cast out those demons, He liberated that person. He made that person free. See, that's what we're called to do. We might not be able to have the gift of casting out demons, but what we can do is bring the Word of God to someone. We can help them, we can come alongside of them, and we can help them find their freedom. We can help liberate them. That's what we're called to do. All of us are going to have a different way of doing that. God's given us all a different way of doing that. Paul wrote at the people in Ephesus about all the cosmic problems that were happening, the stuff that was happening behind the scenes, stuff that we can't see, the stuff that's happening in the spiritual realm or the heavenly realms, stuff that we can't see. There's stuff happening there. Let's look at what Paul wrote in Ephesians 6. Darby went over this. That last series we did was in Ephesians. Let's look at it right here. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. That's probably the most important verse right there, that last one. Well, the first and the last. Let's look at a final word. Be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. Not your mighty power. So you don't have the power to go against these things. Only God has the power to go against this. Only the Holy Spirit that's inside of you can go against these things. But when we stand firm, when we're strong in the Lord and His mighty power, at the end of that battle piece, that Masterpiece mission, we will be standing firm. Standing firm with the victory. No matter how that victory may come, we will be standing with the victory, because Jesus Christ has overcame everything. Amen. He already has the victory.
Amen.
See, everything that's happening here in the physical world, it's just a manifestation of what's happening in the spirit world. We can't see what's happening, but it's manifest itself right here to where we can see it, because Satan is the ruler of the unseen world. So he's bringing the fight right here. That's the reason God's given you and I masterpiece missions to go and fight, to go and fight for people who can't, to fight for causes, and to be part of something that will impact his kingdom. Paul uses terms like rulers, principalities, powers, and authorities. I know this all sounds kind of weird. It sounds like some galactical cartoon that you've been watching or some freaky sci-fi movie. But those things are real. They're real. It's talked about all through the Bible and all through the New Testament. It's talked about Jesus had to cast out demons. Jesus had to release the people who were captive to these. That stuff that's happening in the unseen world, you can't see it happening, but it's real and it's there. So how are we to do this? How are we to do this? Because Satan is ruling the unseen world, we have giants, Goliaths, as you might take it. Those are people that we're called to battle. There's things out there that's a lot bigger than we are, and drug addictions, sex addictions, depression. We're called to help people. We're called to bring people freedom and liberate them from those things through the power that God has given us and through the power of the Holy Spirit. We're those people's help. We're not to run away from those people. We're not to run away from those causes. We're to run towards it. Jesus gave that command when we looked at Matthew 28, 18 through 20. He gave us that command to go make disciples. But he gave us the command to teach them about himself, to teach them the commands. That's us coming alongside of them, doing life with them, being a missionary for those people and for causes. See, God had placed a mission in David's heart. David just thought he was going to the battle lines to bring food to his brothers. But when he got there, he seen the whole army of God just sitting there. They were doing nothing. They were sitting there. This big old giant's over there, he's just telling them. He's just agging somebody to come over there. They were scared. They wouldn't do it. This made David mad. This gave him a fire in his heart that somebody needs to do something. And that somebody was him, because God put that masterpiece mission in him to be the one to do that. Listen to what David said. David said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God?" Who is this giant? Who is this person that is not of God that's standing there taunting the armies of God? See, a lot of people thought David might sound arrogant in saying this, that his immaturity in his youth was just bubbling over. But that's not what it was. See, David had been anointed to be king, but he'd also been anointed on a mission, to go on a mission. David was confident in God. He believed who God said he was. God says, "I am that I am. I am that I am." See, when we get that confidence of knowing who God is, that he is the one, he is the I am that I am, that he will bring us through this, that he's the one that's given us a mission, there's no way we can fail. There's no way that we can fail. So the next question is, what's my passion? Who am I here for? What am I here for? And what do I do with it? What is fired up in your heart that you feel like that you need to go help someone, or that you need to be part of a cause? The Find Your Book that we've been reading, that we've been going through, they give us three categories to break down that we need to look at. Your people passion, your cause passion, and your influence passion. They give us some questions asked. Let's go over the people passion first. Your people passion is, what group of people do you find that you care intuitively about? Mom Gerald's there. She's told the story of her people that she feels like she's called to, is to help the ones that can't help themselves, the ones at hospice or is going through Alzheimer's or whatever it may be. That's who God has led her to go to. So that's a people passion. To me, the last question, let's skip down to the last question, it's probably number 3 or 4 on there. To what people can you be a missionary? Missionaries move in and become one with the people in a particular culture. To which people do you think God has called you to move in and become one with? That's the main question that you need to ask yourselves. Who do you think you're called to move in with? Who do you think you're supposed to get close to? I've got a story of a lady at Journey. Her name is Rochelle. Ashley and I was thankful and blessed to be a part of her ministry. Her ministry is called Hope in the Streets. One night she was woke up by the Lord in the middle of the night and was asked to go down to Moore Square. So at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, in the middle of the night, she was sitting on a park bench with a piece of food there, but not knowing why she was there. And some homeless person came by and asked her, "What are you doing here? What are you doing here at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning?" She said, "I don't know why I'm here. God told me to come. That's the reason I'm here." From that point on, that ministry has grown. There are people that go downtown every Saturday and Sunday morning and feed the homeless. There are people that go out to tent cities because of her ministry. There are people all over downtown Raleigh that knows the name of Rochelle. Most of them even have her phone number. If they need a tube of toothpaste, if they need a pair of socks, if they need a ride to the doctor's office, they know that they can call her, and if she can't do it, she'll find somebody that will. She has the resources to do that. That's a people passion. I'm not saying that may be your people passion. It may not be homeless. You know, it may be veterans. It may be people who are disabled. Whatever it is, if you've got something that's burning in your heart, you need to pursue that. That's a God-given passion. Next thing is a cause passion. What group of causes lights you up? What puts a fire in your soul to go run to that? Is it people not having clean water all over the globe? Is it something globally, sex trafficking? Or is it maybe it's a group of people who just don't know Jesus? Maybe it's the lost. Maybe that's who your cause is for. But whatever it may be, you need to find out. You need to ask yourself, there's a cause. There's something that's in me that's wanting me to pursue and go after that. There are many causes in the world. There's, you know, our world is a broken place. It's just broken. It's a lot of evil in the world. There's a lot going on. I read this week, I had something come across my email. I don't know if you ever heard of the ACLJ, the American Center for Law and Justice. They're a group of lawyers. They do business as the Christian Advocate Serving Evangelism. They're actually a group of lawyers that's in Washington right now fighting for your Christian rights, your religious rights, and they've been fighting a battle. And it is truly a David and Goliath battle. Who they're fighting is Planned Parenthood. Everybody know who Planned Parenthood is? Jay Sekulow, who's kind of the leader of this organization, let me just read what he said. "We're up against Planned Parenthood's seemingly endless flow of taxpayer money. The billion-dollar abortion giant takes the lives of over 330,000 defenseless babies a year. 330,000. That could be another 900 lives today alone. It has been referred by both House and Senate committees for criminal prosecution for the sale of aborted babies' body parts. Its evil knows no bounds. It uses the courts to silence life, overturn pro-life laws, and expand its abortion empire." That's a cause. See, this is a Goliath backed by a world that has been blinded by Satan. Satan has given the world, people who are non-Christians, who don't believe in Jesus Christ, they've given them the attitude that whatever they want to do is okay. No matter who it hurts, no matter the consequence, no matter what it's for, it's okay because it's what I want to do. That's how Satan has blinded the world. So do you have a cause passion? That's the question. I mean, is there something that's inside of you that makes you want to run to a cause? It's important as we go through those two things right there, your people passion and your cause passion, is we need to identify who it is that you think God is calling you to fight for, who your masterpiece mission is, whatever it may be. And in doing that, God has gave you an influencer style to do this. I think all of us has taken our test, our assessments. You know what your gifts are. You know what your influencing style is. The APEST, apostles, pastors, evangelists, excuse me, prophets, evangelists, teachers, shepherds and teachers, I'm sorry. It'll be on the board in just a minute. The thing about it is we got to ask ourselves, how do we use those? How has God wired us to use those influencing styles? To look at this, let's refresh ourselves and go over Ephesians 4. But to each of us has been given, as Christ apportioned it, it was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So He gave each one of these. This is our influencing style. And each one of these will reflect the different ways that the passion that God has put in us is how we're to go about and do it. God gave each one of these to His church so we could be unified. Not that we could be separate, but that we could be unified. Everybody has a primary and a secondary influencing style. And how we're supposed to go about them is differently for each one of them. Jesus is the only one that had all five. Jesus had all five of these. And He had all five of these, one of the main reasons, so we could see how He demonstrated each one of these and how we're supposed to use those influencing styles. Let's look at each one of them. Let's look at the APEST. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, teacher. I'm going to just quickly give a quick overview of the definitions. Now in your book, the Find Your Place book, it goes into a lot deeper. So this is what you need to be going into and looking at each one of these. And even go online. Look at APEST. Do a search for APEST and get some definitions of these and see how they apply to you since you've taken your assessment. So the apostle sends and extends. These are people who are tasked with the overall extension of Christianity as a whole, primarily through missions and church planting. The apostle, from the Latin term meaning sent one, is the one who is on a mission of being sent. And those who have this apostolic style influence others by emphasizing the work of sending and multiplying. This is Darby's primary gift, right? Or influencing style. So that's your second one. Your perfect. Evangelist is your first. Okay. But Darby's the one that wants to jump out there and go blaze the trails and make new paths and wants to get everybody to follow. And that's the evangelist first. He's going to call a group of people together that he wants to go blaze a new trail. So the prophet questions and critiques. This is my primary one, and a lot of times this can get me in trouble because I put my foot in my mouth a lot of times. So, these people who feel called to maintain faithfulness to God among the people of God. Prophets are guardians of the covenant relationship, calling out sin and challenging God's people to greater fidelity to God, His word, and His ways. How many prophets we have? Anybody have a prophet? Do you normally speak truth?
Yes.
Yeah, that's good to say. Sometimes probably not nicely, because that's the way I am sometimes.
Only if I have a lot of righteous indignation.
There you go. There you go. Okay. The evangelist invites and gathers. These are people who are influenced by recruiting others to the cause. Who love to share the gospel and proclaim the truth about Jesus. They are naturally infectious and able to enlist people into the movement through their communication and actions. We got any other evangelists in here?
Nope. Where's my people?
All right. There you go. All right. See, I could almost see Nick being an evangelist because he's trying to get everybody on.
That's the confirmation I need.
There you go. Right there. He's trying to get everybody on board with his eagles over there. So. Yeah. See there? There you go.
It'll work one day. I'll buy eagles. Once every
50, 60 years. There you go. Yeah. All right, the shepherd. The shepherd protects and provides. These are people called to nurture spiritual development, maintain communal health, and engender loving community among the people of God. Monica, is shepherd one of your things?
Yes.
Okay. I want to give a shout out to Monica there. She knew Astrid was not feeling well last week, so she made us two different kinds of soup. Well, actually, gumbo, sausage and chicken gumbo and rice, and a taco soup. off the chain. Off the chain. Actually, we had taco soup last night, so this is what the shepherd does.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, and by the way, I love shepherds. I think we need more shepherds because I love to eat. So, shepherds love to bring food and love to take care of you.
Any
other
shepherds?
Got any shepherds? How many shepherds you got?
Yeah,
all right, good. Bring them on. Yeah. The teacher explains and organizes. These are people who mediate wisdom and understanding. The philosophical style of influence in others brings comprehensive understanding of the revelation bequeathed to the church. Hey, like that word, bequeathed. That's an old word right there. My mother-in-law uses that word a lot, bequeathed.
Oh, wow.
So these are the people that's going to come alongside of you and push you in the right direction and teach you. The main thing I want everybody to know about these influencing styles is that each one of them is important. Each one of them. Everybody can't be apostles. Everybody can't be blazing new trails. And
that's right.
If you did, you'd have all new trails, and people wouldn't know what to do if you didn't have the teacher to come alongside of them to help them push them through there. You know? It'd be chaotic, right?
It's like a circus.
So, yeah, it would be. Exactly. So that's, I don't want anybody to think that whatever style they have, whatever gifting they have, is not important. There's no unimportant Christians in God's kingdom. Everybody has a part to play. Everybody has a masterpiece mission. Everybody has been given a mission. And that's one of the things going through this Find Your Place book. I want everybody to dive deeper into that, especially chapter 2, chapter 3. Darby will get to chapter 4 with your story, how your past story is going to affect your future story. But dive into this. Look in this deeper. Pray. Ask God what your mission is, what you should be fighting for. There's one thing, I'm getting ready to wrap up, so if y'all want to get ready, come just a second. Right here, character and calling. Character times calling equals kingdom impact. What is your character? When you became born again, when Jesus Christ came to live with you, the Holy Spirit came as well. And the Holy Spirit brought the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 21 and 22. Love, joy, peace, and keep on going. Patience. That's the one I'm lacking, is the patience part. But he brought all of those gifts to us, all of those fruit of the Spirit. This is our character. This is the character that we're being transformed into, is the character of Jesus. So that's Jesus in us. And that's the masterpiece mission, is to bring that out, the character of Jesus out. And we combine that with what our masterpiece mission is, what our calling is, what God is calling us to run to. If you notice, there's a time symbol there. It doesn't say plus. It doesn't say character plus calling. It says character times calling. That's multiplication. When you combine character and multiply with calling, you get kingdom impact. And kingdom impact is what we're all to have in this masterpiece mission. I have one last thing. I'm going to put it up here on the board. This is my last thought for the day. I will say one thing. The application for this message is for us to learn what our calling is. Whether it's a people passion, whether it's a cause passion, we've got to find out what that is as individuals, but also as a church. Because he gave these things, he gave the APES for the unity of the church, to build up the church, his church. Build you up individually and to build the church up. This last thing right here. When we start experiencing intimacy with God through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, we will start to get that same confidence David had when he ran towards Goliath. And that confidence will propel us to our masterpiece mission. And when we're on our masterpiece mission, there's no way we can fail, because we have victory. We have victory in Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't fail.